You're invited to the Plan to Profit Photographer Summit. This summit is online, so you can join us from anywhere. This is taking place February 7th, 8th, and 9th. We are featuring 12 incredible summit speakers and one special guest covering topics that range from finances to productivity to marketing strategies and beyond. This is an event that you do not want to miss. I promise this will go down as one of the most impactful things you did for your business in 2024. Head on over to brookjefferson.com/summit to claim your free ticket. Are you refusing to check your bank account or look at how you did in your photography business this month? Does talking about money just make you cringe? Today's guest is going to uncover why you're afraid to look at your numbers and what that's costing you in your business. Jen Fisher is a certified numbers nerd and the proud owner of Numbers by Jen. She's also my personal bookkeeper. She offers bookkeeping for passion-driven businesses. Through approachable and fear-free support, she helps you focus more on what's meaningful to you. Jen, welcome back to the podcast. I know that we've had you on before, and I'm so excited to have you as a speaker at the upcoming summit. As my personal bookkeeper, I feel like you just bring so much knowledge to the table, and I'm excited to share you with everybody. So tell us a little bit about you. Where are you from? Do you have a family? All the things.
So I'm Jen. I do have a family. I have a husband, two tiny dogs, four chickens, and last but not least, two kids. They're 6 and 3. We have one on the way coming in April. And I spent years in corporate, part of an accounting department. And then when we had our daughter about 3 years ago, when COVID hit, I decided to leave corporate because I couldn't do all the things and took the side gig Numbers by Jen full time. And now I work with tons of awesome small business owners in a lot of different parts of the country and in a lot of different industries. And it's lots of fun.
Yes, and I already said this, but you are my personal bookkeeper, and I've worked with a couple of other bookkeepers, and it took me a little bit to really like find my groove and find someone that I felt like cared about my business and, was more than just like, okay, here's your books. Have a great month, so I'm just, I love working with you and I'm excited to share your knowledge, which is why I approached you and asked you to be a summit speaker at our Plan to Profit Photographer Summit. And your topic specifically is talking about the financial side of setting up our most profitable year yet. So, I want to give a little sneak peek, a little teaser into what we're going to be talking about. I know today we're kind of going surface level, but in your talk itself, we're going to get nitty gritty. Like, this is not your basic bookkeeping 101 summit that you can go listen to on a prior episode we've already done together. We're going to dive into some more controversial things, things that you don't really hear people talk about a whole lot. So, Jen, my question to you first and foremost is, why do you think photographers freak out when it comes to talking about money and looking at their money?
First of all, I think it's very normal. And I think that money, whether it's personal or in business, makes people freak out. I know personally, I have a bad habit of not looking at my personal bank account. I look at my business one every day. I think a lot of people, I have heard new clients say this to me, that they literally tie their worth to how much money they have. And so when it's really that ingrained, I think that it just makes you scared to look at it. And then the longer that you avoid looking at it, and if you're not planning your money like strategies and the spending, if you're not planning it, then I think you tend to avoid it longer. And then the monster just grows. If you're not looking at it on a regular basis and then you're waiting months to take a peek behind the curtain, I mean, just right there, that like makes me sweaty. So I get it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And for me personally, the topic of money, I've become way more comfortable talking about money in the last handful of years. But prior to that, I noticed that I would tie security to money. And I think that is something we all do. I'm judging myself and I'm judging the level of comfort and safety that I have from what my bank balance is. How much do I have in savings? And to be honest, I'm still working through this stuff. So I know that it can be scary. And I think when you are at that beginning of really understanding why you believe certain things about money and your money story and your history and all those things, is like a it's a huge topic. It's a pill you don't want to swallow, but I'm telling you, the sooner you can get over that phase and get more comfortable looking at numbers, tracking your numbers, you're going to be a better person, but you're going to really have a more profitable business because of it. So with that being said, what is a mistake or two that you see photographers making when it comes to their finances or bookkeeping in general?
One of my favorite ones to talk about is putting things on your profit and loss report that shouldn't be there. So, for example, if you're a sole proprietor or if you're an LLC, taking your pay to yourself and putting that, counting that as an expense, which is totally incorrect. It should live on your balance sheet, which is a topic for another day. And then also super popular in the photography world is like, let's say it's your first year in business and you spent $4,000 or $5,000 on equipment, which is necessary, but expensing that as well is not the proper way to account for that either. That should also be considered an investment in your business, which counts toward the overall equity of your business, which means it belongs on the balance sheet. So I think when you're first starting out, not understanding, which is reasonable, but not understanding the difference between what is actually an expense or a tax deduction.
Gosh, that's
And
such
then
a good one. That's such a good one. I'm just going to pause you right there because I try. This is like the biggest mistake I see when people book me for a strategy call to go over their pricing is they just did not even account for expenses or taxes or everything that they tell me that's listed in their expenses. I'm like, actually, that doesn't count as an expense. It does count as a write-off at tax time, but it's like a formula. Like it doesn't, you can't just take it, you know? And so I feel like that is one of the biggest things I'm undoing with photographers is just kind of explaining, here's what actually goes into this category versus what doesn't. What are two or three things off the top of your head that you see photographers add as a straight up expense that's really not?
I would say clothing has become popular. Like, if you have to wear something, like, okay, so I've been to enough weddings. I see photographers are dressed in all black sometimes, right? And expensing that as a like a quote unquote uniform is not correct. That is something that you could wear out to the nightclub when you go out with your friends. Like, so it doesn't count because that's not a true uniform. Now, if you put your logo on it, it could be a different story. That's a really popular one. I see that all the time. Like, oh, well, I went to this fancy wedding and it was black tie and I had to buy Jimmy Choo's and their business expense. Like, no, they're not actually. Because you can wear those to your friend's wedding next weekend. So I would say that's a big one. I would say also be careful with like client closet. You know, if like we're working together and you have spent an exorbitant amount of money this year at J. Crew and you tell me it's all for client closet, just be careful with those purchases.
And you mentioned gear. I'm just throwing that back on there. You did mention like camera equipment or really anything that falls under that category. And I think that's where there's just so much confusion is, you know, I think this is, I know it's one of the myths that are floating around out there, but like November hits and people just start looking for write-offs. And so they just start going to town buying stuff. I know for some industries it's vehicles, and for some industries it's there, you know, it is equipment or it's new computers or whatever. And that's the mistake that we're trying to keep you from making is yes, you can make those purchases if they're necessary and you need them, but you need to have an understanding. And what Jen's trying to tell you is it's not going to be a straight up deduction. Like you don't get to take all $4,000 or $5,000. It works very in a formula and it's well beyond my math skills. And so I'll leave that to the professionals. But that is something that I see is so popular is people just think it's black and white. It either goes in the income category or it goes in the expense category. And that really is just not the case. So thanks for clearing
No.
that up.
Yeah. And I mean, if you end up in Like if you end up in court someday, it really is not black and white. You think that it would be, but they're going to look at it and say, okay, is this reasonable? They're going to compare you to other photographers. Like, do other photographers spend $10,000 on their client closet? No. So you want to make sure that you are acting reasonably, and it's something that could stand up in the court of law, which hopefully doesn't happen to any of us, but.
Yeah, good. Do you have another one that you want to, a mistake that you want to bring to light before we shift gears?
Yeah, I would say just, we kind of talked about this with freaking out about money and having fear around just looking at it. And I would say that that's one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is they'll go 3 to 4 months without looking at their books. It's usually you're forced to because somebody asks you a question or you have to fill out a tax form or something. And then you're forced to look at your numbers because you've been spending the last 3 to 4 months letting your bank account dictate all of your actions. And so just simply not looking at it, even if you're not tracking something on a spreadsheet or with a software, just checking in with your bank account every now and then and making sure that you didn't get charged double for something. I mean, we're living in such a consumer-driven world and we've got everything on subscription and everything on auto pay. And if you're not checking in, then you don't know what's going on. And that's just not a way to live, especially when it comes to your money and your business. Those two things are super important. Not planning along with that comes like not planning for taxes. Don't let that hit you in the butt when tax time comes around. Be squirreling away some money if you can for your taxes. I would say that kind of sums up a pretty big mistake.
Yeah, I feel like you and I could have a top 10. We really could. We could have a top 10, but then
I have more.
everybody but then everybody listening would be like, "Oh my God, I'm freaking out." And that's not what we're trying to do. We want to shine a light on this topic because we know this is not the easiest thing to talk about, but I promise you're not helping yourself by not educating yourself and spotlighting your own money habits. And so it's so important, especially in your personal life as well, but really for the business. So I'm so excited to dive deeper into this in your summit presentation, which you're a day one speaker. So we
Yay.
get to hear from you as one of the very first people. So I'm very, very excited to dive into all of that. But I want to shift gears and I want to ask you the two questions that I have asked every speaker so far. Can you share with us one goal that you have for your own life and business in 2024?
Yeah, so in 2024, we are moving to a house with a little bit more land. And I think, being in entering year four of Numbers by Jen, I would like to. Last year, my word of the year was intention. And I think being intentional in 2023 will hopefully allow me to slow down some in 2024 with a new baby and a new house and more land and hopefully a garden and goats and all the things. I don't want to be as busy as all that sounds. I'd like to just slow down and be present more. I feel like we have to fight that a lot just in the world that we live in. And I mean, you and I, we spend a lot of time online for our businesses. And yeah, so slowing down, being more present in 2024, that's a life goal for me and business too, just being better about sticking to solid processes that allow us to not feel hectic.
Yes. Oh my gosh, love that. And now that I have interviewed other people, I can tell you that everyone has a very similar theme. And I have even seen this like from a faith-based side too. It seems like everyone is like coming back to what matters. And I really call it like you're coming back to the table. You're focusing on your family and you're trying to slow down and enjoy life. And I really think that's kind of everybody's trying to find that place of contentment. I really think it's that way because it almost felt like, when we were going through the pandemic, at the time we were in survival mode and we really didn't feel the effects of what it did to us mentally, physically, et cetera, till 2 years later. So 2022. So it's no wonder that the last 2 years we feel like we're kind of like, oh my gosh, where have we been?
Drained.
Right? Drained,
Yeah.
tired, exhausted. And so now people are like, okay, we're over it. It's time to get back and like, start, be more self-sufficient and pay attention to what matters. And so the fact that every person has said that so far, it just makes my heart so happy. I'm so excited.
I just want to say what an awesome topic too for photography, because at least for me, when I think of photography, when I think of the industry, the first thing that comes to my mind, like literally that I picture in my head, is family photos.
Oh.
And so I don't know, I just think it all like ties together very well.
Yes. Ah, I love that. That's such an awesome picture. And same, that's actually on my list this year as a photographer is to have a full-blown, full-out family session where my husband is participating. Oh my gosh. I mean, poor him though. I didn't do photography when we first got married, so it's something that he's had to learn to be okay with. Like, he's good with me doing it. He's not okay with being in the pictures because he hates having his picture made. But anyway, it's just so funny, but that's on our list too. So with that whole theme, our final question to round us out is, how do you define being successful? What does success mean to you?
Yeah, I think success to me is being happy, I think, and having happy family, happy clients. I think it's something that we overlook and we all just we're like, oh yeah, I'm happy. But if you really slow down and have more intention and really think through that question, I always strive to be at a place where I can answer that honestly and know in my heart that I'm fully happy. And I think a lot of that is, like I said, the goal for this year, kind of slowing down, being present, and knowing that everybody in the family is healthy and content. And then same with business. You know, I'm not out here trying to chase like big dollar signs. I just want to partner with clients and make sure that I am making a positive impact on their business and connecting with them versus, like you said earlier, you know, just cranking out reports, kind of about more than that. And
Yeah, I love that. Happy and wholeness is really what you described. And that's such a beautiful way to put it. And I really feel like that's what we're all after. I think we sometimes get sidetracked and influenced that our dreams aren't big enough or they're too small or they're sometimes too big. I don't know. But I think success is really what you want to make it. And I feel like success is very much attached to feelings and contentment, which comes to being that happy and that wholeness. So I love the way that you defined that. And it's something to think about. You kind of left us with the question, and I want to leave that with people too, is as they go about their day, really dig deep. Are you happy? Are you content? Oh, those are such good journaling questions. So, Jen, we're so excited to have you as a speaker, and we're kicking it off within hours at this point. So, I'm so excited for everyone to grab their ticket. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
If you're planning to expand your team or bring on an assistant, I'm sure you have a million questions running through your mind, like when and who and how. Today's guest is going to ease the fear of hiring in your business and shed some light to an alternative way to make money from home. Leslie Pyle is the founder and CEO of HireMyMom.com, a service connecting small businesses with virtual professionals across the country since 2007. Leslie began her work from home journey in 1995 after having her first child, and she started her first online business in 1996. Leslie brings a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so excited to share her with you. Leslie, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to introduce you to my listeners and tease your summit topic. This is my favorite thing is letting people kind of hear what are we going to be talking about at this summit. So before we dive into some rapid fire questions, can you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Brooke. So yes, I'm Leslie Pyle. I'm the founder and owner of HireMyMom.com, which I started in 2007, and I am based in Houston area in Texas. Have four kids, three are grown and flown, and one still at home.
Oh my goodness, I love the grown and flown. That is so cute. I've never heard that before. And I love that you're one state over. You're actually in the state I grew up in. So that's
Oh, wow.
awesome. I'm just
Yeah.
above you in Oklahoma, so not too incredibly far. So that's
Yeah.
cool. How did you get started with hiremymom.com? How in the world did you even begin that business?
I have a feeling that it's like a lot of your audience. It's when I had my first baby, and I had just finished my master's degree, so I really didn't have any intentions on being a stay-at-home mom. But suddenly, when she was born, something, you know, that mom gene shifted in me. And I thought, oh my goodness, how am I ever going to go back to work? But I did for 2 weeks and I cried every single day. So I decided I was just going to make the leap and start freelancing. And this was 28 years ago when working from home was not widely accepted, or it was kind of frowned upon actually. So I didn't offer that I worked from home, but I just hit the ground running and was just determined to figure out a way to be at home but still have a career. And so that led me to start my first website called Home-Based Working Moms in 1996, which was kind of like an online chamber of commerce for moms who worked from home or wanted to. And then from there, I launched Hire My Mom in 2007 when I saw that, okay, businesses now are more open to hiring people to work from home. And I would love to be a catalyst to help women who want to be at home and small businesses who want to hire these fabulous ladies to help them grow their business.
Oh my goodness. My heart is all about that. That is incredible. I love your mission and I love what your business does. And I will say, like, even like in the 90s, obviously I was a small child running around. So I didn't know what the stigmas were at the time, but I will say, I think up until the pandemic, there was a stigma about working at home. Oh, you don't really work. How could you work from home? Is that even a real job? And companies didn't have remote options. They really didn't unless you were in a certain industry. And so I just think it's so incredible what you have built. And there are so many moms that can relate that are either pregnant right now with their first baby or just experienced having their baby and all of a sudden telling their husband, I don't want to work. How could we leave this baby? And so very, very common. I know that's so relatable. Did you see a shift during pandemic times for your website and your business specifically?
I did. Yeah. I know that small businesses were already sort of used to, you know, hiring people to work from home because it's more affordable. They don't need full-time employees a lot of times. We saw a huge shift, obviously, with the middle to large companies who were forced to hire remote employees. So yeah, it's been basically great free publicity for us to say, yeah, that's what we've been talking about. I'm so glad you're on board with us now.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's such a perspective shift as well. So my audience is primarily photographers. And the cool thing is we are small business owners, and there are plenty of small business owners that are not photographers that listen to this podcast because they're always hopping in my inbox letting me know that too. But for the majority, I'm usually speaking to photographers, and we all come to this point where we can no longer do it all by ourselves. We are being the mom, we're the wife, we're running a business, we're the photographer, we're all the things. And eventually we realize it's either time or money at this point. You know, time is limited. It is the one resource you can't renew. You can get smart with it, but you can't renew it. And the money, you can always figure out a way to make more of it. But I will say, as a business educator in this photography space, I see a huge hesitation in photographers wanting to make their first hire. And I know that has to be relatable, right? It's our business. Nobody can do it as good as we can. So I would love for you just to, in your own experience, have you ever outsourced parts of your life or business? Or what was your experience kind of figuring out who your first hire was going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. That first hire can be very scary. And I did, my very first hire was, gosh, probably 3 or 4 years into my business when I realized, okay, I can't do it all. And I'm not going to be able to grow my business if I don't hire help. So my first hire was a virtual assistant. And I basically looked at, okay, what are the tasks that I either don't have time for or don't really enjoy doing? And then, you know, how can I outsource those? So I learned basically trial by error, because back then there was really no way for me to figure it out. There were no courses. Now we've launched a course to help people who are hiring for the first time. But, you know, now we have Zoom. So just getting to know who you hire and training them one-on-one is such a benefit. And having the ability to use Google Chat or whatever you want to interact with them throughout the day until they're fully onboarded and completely understand what they're doing. But it doesn't have to be scary. You can find some great, you know, even word of mouth. You might know a friend who says, I'm looking for just like 5 or 10 hours a week. And that might be all you need to start out. Just kind of get some things off of your plate so that you can continue growing your photography business, getting more clients, because you have to be behind the camera, but you don't have to be behind the desk doing some of the administrative type tasks or booking clients or emailing or social media and those sorts of things.
Yeah, the first hire can definitely feel scary or emotional, but I think it's just because we are going from being comfortable in the chaos, and then mm-hmm. we are having to step out into go past our comfort zone and allow somebody in. And I'm just going to say from experience, I have not always been the best person with new hires because I want them to get it. I hate the learning curve, right? Like that's the worst part of it. And I've definitely grown my leadership skills and learned how to train and onboard and all the things. But in the beginning, I did not. And it felt like a revolving door on my end. Not to say that the people I was hiring didn't have faults either, but I was very quick to, you know, I just didn't want to let go of control. And I think that's something that a lot of photographers really struggle with. So do you have maybe a tip or two for photographers considering bringing on their first, whether it's a virtual assistant or an in-person assistant? You know, what kind of mindset or what tips do they need going into that very first hire?
Yeah, what I didn't do, but what I recommend now looking back is create sort of the SOPs, you know, what are the standard things that if it's a virtual assistant, you know, start writing out how you do each of those tasks that you want someone to do. And it can be a living document. Like we use Google Docs and we're editing and adding to that all the time because, you know, things change or you have something new that a customer request or a new issue, and that document gets updated constantly with that. So number one, it's great for training. And number two, it's great if you have to replace that person or they leave for some reason, you're not starting off from scratch every time. You have a document that outlines everything. Your new hire can go back and review it. And, you know, she doesn't have to ask you 100 questions a day. She has it all right there. So that's my number one tip. And again, I did not do that, but I learned quickly that is such a lifesaver and such a time saver for new hires.
Yeah, that's such a good tip. Such a good one. In fact, I think I get more compliments now on my onboarding process than I ever have because I create videos and they have links and like it's all right there. And I did not have that starting out either.
Right.
So I do want to switch gears really quickly and I just want to flip the script because something I don't talk about often, but it's very near and dear to my heart is being a virtual assistant. So I was a virtual assistant for 2 years back in, I want to say 2017, 2018. And I loved working for business owners. I loved being able to assist them with what they needed. And it was really good for me to supplement my income as well as I was trying to grow my photography business to be fully full-time where I needed to get it. So I would love for you to explain what a virtual assistant is and some of the benefits of being a virtual assistant. Of course, we know working from home, but I'd love for you just to dive a little deeper into that.
Yes. And that's probably our most common job post on Hire My Mom is because almost every small business, that's usually their first hire because they're looking to get things off of their plate. But a virtual assistant can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. So you think of a virtual assistant as, you know, someone's right-hand person. So they might be handling their email. They might be returning phone calls. They might be doing calendar work or booking appointments, booking travel. Sometimes they're even doing a little bit of social media or writing, depending on their skill set and what the business owner is looking for. You know, some of them can be more of a tech savvy virtual assistant where they do more of the web development type stuff on the side, just, you know, the easier things. Some even do a little bit of invoicing, really pretty much anything a small business needs. And as that small business grows, typically they'll have the virtual assistant pull back and do more of just the admin. And then they'll hire someone for the accounting role, for the social media role, for the web, you know, in writing and that sort of thing. But early on, I really do think that the virtual assistant can do a lot of the tasks for the small business owner. And depending on what the virtual assistant skills are, she can market herself in a multitude of ways.
Yes. I love that it provides the flexibility, but I also learned so many skills from being able to dive into other people's business. And truly, I think it made me a better business owner myself. And then being in that role, now I can fully relate to the people that I'm hiring and bringing on. And I can remember all the different stages of what that felt like, all the way through ending, you know, ending that relationship, which that only happened for me because I dove into photography full time. But I love this idea because I think that there's going to be several photographers that are in this stage of their life and business where they want to grow their business, but they also want to be home right now with that, like that baby, like we talked about. And I think that being a virtual assistant, you know, would be a great opportunity for some of them to learn those business skills and equip other business owners. And I would never, and I don't want to position this as, oh, here's what you can do for a year. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, if you truly feel called to serving someone in their business, being a virtual assistant is a great option. I know you said virtual assistant is the number one listing you guys have on your hiremymom.com website. What are some other positions that you guys have for hire over there? What do they do?
Yeah, we have like digital marketing, social media, accounting, bookkeeping, let me see, writing, editing, graphic design, project management, customer service. That's another one that a lot of times the virtual assistant will help with the customer service. In fact, mine does that a lot. There's also Facebook ads, online business manager. So pretty much anything that a small business would need. So if you have any of those skills in addition to your photography business, if you're looking to do something in addition to it, yeah, there are a lot of great opportunities. And there can be positions anywhere from, like I said, 5 to 10 hours a week on up to 30 to 40 hours a week. So there's a lot of flexibility in those too.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. I love this so much. I invite you guys to check out hiremymom.com, whether you are wanting to become that virtual assistant or, you know, be that person that can offer skills to business owners, or you're the photographer that's like, man, I've needed to hire for so long. Maybe this is the place where I can find a reputable person. I highly recommend you guys check that out. I'm so excited to dive more into your topic of outsourcing and hiring at the summit. So if your ears are perked and you're like, I definitely want to learn more, go grab your free ticket. And then we will see you guys in a couple weeks at the summit. And before I let you go, I have two final questions for you. The first one is, can you share with us one goal that you have in your life and business or both for 2024?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked. So my personal goal and my business goal are very similar. So my personal goal is to read through the Bible again for the year. I did that last year and it was just incredible. So I'm going to do that again, starting out in Genesis this week. And then for my business, it's similar. It's just to incorporate God into more of my business, into more of my decision-making, and just use my platform to glorify Him in every way.
Amen. I love that so much. I did the year, the reading plan last year, and I made it pretty much to the Old Testament. And then as a photographer, it gets real busy. And so I just could not keep up with it. And so interestingly enough, I saw another reading plan and my daughter and I just started it yesterday, which is reading through the New Testament in a year. And so we're getting to pick up really right where we left off. And so I love that you mentioned that. Yeah. And she was like, I want to do it with you. She's 10. And I'm like, let's do it. This is great. So that's what we're doing. I love that you said that. And then yes, incorporating God into my business is such a big one. My word of the year is alignment. I just want to be in step with God. In fact, Galatians 5:26, I might have totally just butchered that, but it's talking about if we're saying we're living by the Spirit, then let's step side by side with the Spirit. And so I love that you said that, because that is exactly where my eyes and focus is on as well. So I love that.
I love that.
So good. Okay, final question. How do you define being successful? What does that mean to you?
You know, that's one of those words that can mean a million different things to a million different people. And for me, what I've landed on is success is finding contentment where you are in life and not feeling like you constantly have to up level or be better than this person or do more than that person. But at the same time, always being open to improving yourself, not because you're trying to compete with other people, but just because God's given us so many gifts. And I feel like we don't fully embrace, and I don't think we ever will, but I just always think there's more potential in us. But there's just a balance between that and being content, because God tells us to be content in our lives. So no matter where we are, you know, just thanking God for what we have and being content, you know, is a huge one. I think when you have that, you feel successful.
Such a beautiful definition of success, and one that I feel like we can all cling to, because really at the end of the day, that's what I think people want. I think it very much relates to being content, but that comes from feeling peace. And if you don't have peace, you can't be any of those things. So I love how you described that, because that is so, so good. So on that note, we are so excited to have you at the summit in a few weeks. And I'm so excited to really just share you again with all of the summit attendees there. I know we're going to have an incredible topic for you and discussion, and I'm just excited for everything that you have to share with the listeners. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Yes, thank you, Brooke. I'm looking forward to it.
Run and grab your ticket for the Plan to Profit Photographer Summit happening February 7th, 8th, and 9th. Head to brookjefferson.com/summit to grab yours. And while you're at it, invite a friend. We will see you so soon.